वर्स नंबर 39, चैप्टर 3 वर्स नंबर 39। आवृतम ज्ञानमेतेन ज्ञानिनो नित्यवैरिणा कामरूपेण कौन्तेय दुष्पूरेणानलेन च So jnanam, this knowledge, this avritam jnanam, this knowledge is avritam, covered etena, by this what? This knowledge is covered by that desire. So that desire which is overwhelming to possess covers the wisdom of jnani. Jnanina, of the wise person, and it is an enemy, because this desire, as we said, when this overwhelming desire comes, along with that comes anger and greed and all those negativities, then we don't care whom we hurt. So it is a nitya varina. So this desire and anger are always your enemies. And what is the nature of this kama? Kama again means tremendous lust, tremendous desire. Kama rupena, in the form of kama it arises, O Kaunteya, O Arjuna. And what it is? Dushpurena, it cannot be satisfied. Analena cha, just as a fire. Now, word fire, anal, is a very beautiful word. Nala means enough. Anala means not enough. So, fire never says enough. You keep putting more and more wood in the fire, more and more. Does it ever say enough, enough, enough? No. Keep giving. The more you give, the more it grows. The more the fire grows. So fire never says enough. That's it. In Sanskrit, every word, every name has so much meaning. So just as a fire never says, I have had enough, you and I, when we are under the influence of this desire and greed, we never say it's enough. I have enough money, I have enough house, bring more, let me have a bigger portfolio, let me have bigger house, bigger car, bigger this, more, bigger company. If I have one company, let me have not two companies, three. So there is no end. We never say enough. That's what this desire does. It totally takes over your whole thinking. All your wisdom is covered. So wisdom is overwhelmed by desire. One thing I would like to request you, I know it is a fashion nowadays to read Western scholars. You know, I'm going to read Bhagavad Gita by some Western scholar, or Upanishad written by Max Müller and all. And it has become a fashion, and a lot of Westerners are writing books. There's good, nothing wrong with that, to read it. But if you truly want to understand Advaita Vedanta, you should go to the writings of Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, or Shankaracharya, or Vivekananda, Swami Ishwarananda, and Bodhatman. So these people have studied Sanskrit and have studied the scriptures in their original form. And so the teaching, and there is a Guru Shishya Parampara. It's not that somebody just read a few verses and wrote a commentary. They have sat at the feet of their teacher and studied from them. So at least it's my humble request that if you want to study Eastern philosophy, like you want to study Islam, where would you go? You would go to a Maulvi, right? Who has studied from another Maulvi and who knows Arabic, who can translate the Quran correctly. I mean, other scholars may write about it, but so same way, that's my personal opinion. So I'm not trying to put any philosophy down. I'm just saying that if you want to study any philosophy, go to the source. So, Advaita. So, there are three methods of studying, and we have talked about them. But for those who are new, Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana. So, what is Shravana? Shravana is listening to the teacher, either orally or in the book, reading it. But reading and tuning your mind to the teacher and understanding it completely and clearly, what the teacher is saying is Shravana. So it's not only listening, but understanding. And then manana is contemplating upon this knowledge. Whatever my teacher has told, I should churn it in my mind. This churning is called manana. And then nididhyasana is I abide in that knowledge. I bring it into my life. So first I listen to the teacher, then I churn it, whether it is good, whether it is suitable, and then I start living that knowledge, bring it into my life. So these are the three methods of learning. And how does this desire affect us? In the form of addictions. And addictions are not only, you know, to alcohol, drugs, cigarettes. Yes, some people are addicted to that. Some people are addicted, you know, to other things, material things, wealth or power, addiction to power, where I should be the most powerful, or I should be the smartest, and I put everybody down and that I am smarter than you. So addiction could be to anything, but anything that is making me feel superior to the other person. And when he says jnani, and then ajnani, opposite of jnani is ajnani. So jnani is knowledgeable, ajnani is ignorant. So ignorant has no problem with desire, right? If a person has, he doesn't know anything, he's a ane do, let it come, let it come. The more I get, the better. The more I get, the better. For him, desire is no problem. And then there is another one who is a realized master, as I said, like that, we said, like that surfer. For him, desire is no problem. He said, desire can come. I am not affected. I can ride the desire, but desire does not affect. So for the two extremes, desire is not a problem. If you are ignorant, you say, it's okay, desire, good, I get more. For a wise, enlightened master, desire can come and go, but I am above it. It's for people like you and me who know a little bit. Thoda, we have studied a little bit of the Gita, and when desire comes, we get confused. For one guy has no problem, other guys no. It's for people like us who are jnani, but who are partial jnanis. We have studied the Bhagavad Gita, but we have not brought it in our life. We have not become one with that knowledge. And so for such a person, Bhagavan uses the word jnani, is not for the enlightened master, but he's using for the educated ignorant. He's educated, but he's still ignorant. So such a person is the one that whose wisdom is covered. And they say the time is very limited. You know, there is a beautiful book in the office, Bhaj Govindam, and he says, Nalini Dalagata Jalamati Tarlam Tatvat Jivitam Atishaya Chapalam. He says, life is like a dewdrop on a lotus leaf. How long does it live? Once the sun rises, either it evaporates or it slips off. So similarly, you and I, we are living like a dewdrop on a lotus leaf. We don't know when will slip off, when the life will end. Does anybody know how long I'm going to live? We don't know. It could be next week, next month, next year, 10 years, 20 years, but it is a limited amount of time. So we all have come with a limited amount of time. We come, hamara number aa jayega. We don't know when our number will be drawn based on our prarabdha or our karmas. So do not waste your time. Human life is so precious. Shankara, this Vivek Chudamani, we just started, Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, he says it is so rare to get a human birth, to have the Bhagavad Gita, to have a guru like Swami Chinmayananda giving this knowledge. So do not waste that opportunity. Do not just spend it in use. And people say, I am too busy. I don't have time. You don't know how busy I am. I have so much things to do. I have so much to do. And you go to their house and you open their closet and they have summer outfits, winter outfits, casual outfits, formal outfits, work outfits, party outfits. And then every outfit has a matching shoes and a matching jewelry and a matching tie. And we spend so much time in acquiring outfits and clothes, and men and women both. I'm not just picking on. And then you tell them to sit and study the Bhagavad Gita or meditation. No, I don't have time. But they have enough time. So the point is, we have time, but we just use it in the wrong places. That is, I'm not against beauty or wearing good clothes and all, not that, but do not spend all your time, you know, at least give a little bit of your time towards this knowledge which will take you to beyond all this. At least thoda to time lagao, at least half an hour, 1 hour every day. Sit and read, sit and, you have 24 hours, even 1/24th, we don't have time. I say, I am so busy, you know, I'm taking care of my grandkids. Oh, why are you taking care of your grandkids? Let the kids do it. You are here to reach God. And then the book says we are tenants. We are not owners of this house. See, like a landlord, suppose he gives a tenant a house. And after 3 year, 5 year lease, the landlord goes there and the carpet is torn and the curtains are ripped apart and the walls are dirty and everything, appliances are broken, the tiles are... See, what kind of tenant was this? You know, why? Never I'm going to give this guy a house again. But on the other hand, another tenant and the landlord goes after the lease and he has not only kept it good, he has put new curtains and he has put new appliances and he has put new carpet and he has painted it and he has given the house better than what he had got. Landlord says, yeah, this is the kind of tenant I'm going to give the house again. You want to extend the lease? Go ahead. So similarly, you and I are tenants on this earth. Bhagwan owns the earth. He's the landlord. And we are all tenants. And so leave this earth better than what you found it. Don't leave it dirtier. See, here we are polluting the earth. We are doing all negativities. So be a good tenant. Nobody is going to occupy this earth forever because we are kiraidar. We are tenant. And the landlord will be happy if I leave this earth better than what I came. That's what they say. Leave this world a little better than when you came with. That's Kabir Das Ji says it very beautifully. Kabira, he says, jab aaye tum jagat mein, jag hasa tum roye, aisi karni kar chalo, tum haso jag roye. He says, when you came on this earth, you were crying and everybody else was celebrating. Ah, new child is born. But leave the earth in such a way that you laugh. You say, look, I came to accomplish what I did and everybody around is crying that a great person has gone. So live your life so that others cry and you laugh. Because you say, I have nothing more left to accomplish. So that is how we should live our life. And this wisdom is occupied by desire if we allow it to. So desire, anger are our enemies, greed. They cover us like smoke, dust and womb. And wisdom is covered only with the right knowledge. Shravana, Manana, Nidhi, Dhyasana, we can remove this. So these are the summary of the three verses we did today. We have about 10 minutes. Anybody has any questions, any comments?
There's so many different ways to interpret things.
Right? Very good point,
or
yes.
Listening to interpretation by Swami Chinmayi and other people like him.
Right, right. Actually, there are 9 schools of philosophy. So among 9 schools, Advaita is the one that we follow here. And even Advaita, the interpretation, yes, if you read Swami Chinmayananda as opposed to some others, the same shloka, they interpret very differently. Thank you. Yeah, so again, one has to be selective of whom I follow. I'm not saying that you have to be fanatic, but the person should be able to treat each shloka on its merit. I found some commentaries where every shloka, they come out with the same meaning, pretty much. And that's not good. The shloka should be treated upon its merit. And that only can happen when the person has a broader understanding. So one has to experiment and look around. And just because something is available free does not mean, you know, I have to read it. So I personally found, to me, this appealed to me the more. And Swami Vivekananda, the same thing. And Shankaracharya, Shankar Bhashya, the Shankara's commentary. Swami Chinmayananda bases his teachings entirely on Shankara's Bhashya. Yes?
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you're saying. The way we relate to the
true
message
true
might be slightly different than, even though both are coming from Advaita.
True, true.
So, you know, I appreciate the fact that you mentioned all those things.
Yes, no, absolutely, yeah, because not everybody, like, I mean, Swami Chinmayananda's English sometimes is difficult to understand. So, but if you persist, slowly you tune your mind. So you have to pick one teacher or one guru again, not to be fanatic, but the one you can relate with, and then spend time so you tune your mind and you know how this person thinks. So, yes, and then if you have any questions, then in a group like this, you know, something is not clear, we can discuss or we can bring it up. So, yeah, if I can, I'll try as much as I can to answer it. Yes. No, his actually, his Bhagavad Gita I have looked at, and his Sanskrit translation is correct. His Sanskrit knowledge is very good. But then every shloka he brings on down to bhakti. Krishna bhakti, Krishna bhakti, Krishna bhakti. So he does not, I know I'm a chota mu badi baat, I don't, you know, mean to criticize. He's such an evolved, but it's an answer to your question. Every shloka he interprets only in one way.
Bhakti.
Bhakti, that's it. Krishna bhakti. And some, not all the shlokas are bhakti, as we have seen. Some shlokas are gyan, some shlokas are karma, some are bhakti, some are meditation. So, but they distribute it freely, so everybody has it and everybody reads it, but it does not give you a broad picture of what truly Bhagavan Krishna meant. And I'm, again, not pretending to be a scholar, but I have briefly looked at that. I've looked at Tilak, I've looked at Vinoba Bhave a little bit, and also the Gita Press and all. But for me personally, Swami Chinmayananda's commentary appeals to me the most, because he covers each shloka on its merit, and it's more modern because it was written in the 20th century. So his examples are more modern. His English is, he was a, you know, profound scholar of English. So I don't know, you know, shouldn't be criticizing, but I mean, you asked the question, so I answered it.
Did he come from Mumbai? Huh?
I don't know. I have not studied his life. I mean, his knowledge of Sanskrit is impeccable. Absolutely. That is, I won't find any fault with his translation. But then his interpretation goes to Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti. Everything is that. And not every, all the 700 shlokas are not bhakti. In the Bhagavad Gita, they are not. Each shloka is different, so it needs to be addressed on its merits.
It really resonated with some people.
Yeah, no, it does. Because, but if you're a Krishna bhakta, yes. But then you should take it as a treatise on Krishna bhakti, not as a true interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, if you are a Krishna, and a lot of the Krishna movement is growing like anything all over the world. There's millions of people and it's fast growing. They're building temples and it's bringing a lot of people towards Krishna. There's nothing wrong.
I didn't know
that. Huh?
I thought it was kind of dying.
No, it's growing like anything. There are Krishna, ISKCON temples all over now. There's in St. Louis, there's in California. It's not dying, it's actually growing. And a lot of people are being brought towards bhakti and towards Krishna through this movement. But it's not Bhagavad Gita. That's all I'm saying. I don't know, I didn't want to get into the controversy, but you asked me, so I answered it. But thank you, Hari Om. We'll end with the closing prayers. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.